Yeah, good luck. Well, let me tell you what we got, because this is one of the biggest bones of contention in our country now, and that is illegal immigration. Not legal, because my grandparents on both sides came here legally from other countries in Europe. So there's, you know, obviously the debate that's running through the country. Obviously, the majority is we want immigrants to come here. That's what this country is founded on. We just want you to be legal. Go to the Social Security office, come in legally, get your ID checked, and then, you know what, we'll help you out until you get on your feet. Don't expect us to take care of you for the rest of your life.
And give this country your name so that they know who you are.
Wouldn't that be a good thing?
Just in case.
All right. Well, we have Brian. I don't know how to pronounce your last name. I'm really bad with last names. Is it Termail?
You got it right. Exactly.
Oh, my God. Frank, I need to win something for that. That's a first. So, Brian, tell everybody a little bit about your background first.
Sure. Well, I work for the Associated General Contractors of America. We're the trade association for the commercial construction industry. Background before that, I used to be a Fed. I worked for the Department of Transportation. You know, I was the guy from Washington who was here to help. And way before that, I was a not particularly successful second grade teacher in inner city D.C.
Yeah, there was an old joke from a comedian that said they taught in the Bronx. And they didn't ask the kids what they wanted to be when they grew up, but they wanted to be if they grew up. Those tough neighborhoods. That's a tough job. That's the toughest job you had, except if you have children.
Oh, no, you're 100% right. It was the toughest job I had. It was, everything else has been a cakewalk.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, so we're talking with the Associated General Contractors of America. We're talking about, according to them, they're looking for, obviously, people to work. And most people in America now are going to college. They don't want to work in fields. They don't want to work in construction. They don't want to work in ironworks, although they pay big money. And we're all for that 100% because whose parents or grandparents weren't laborers at one time? We just want it done legally. So what's your take on all this?
Well, we do, too. Here's the challenge, and you hit it. First of all, our preference would be to hire workers from the United States. Right, our members are desperate to find enough workers. 78% in the New York area say they can't find enough workers to hire. And one of the main reasons for that is the federal government puts most of its education dollars into encouraging high school students, those ones who can't walk across the street to get to school, to go to college, get a 4-year degree, accumulate a bunch of debt, and then work in a fluorescent lit cube farm somewhere. And so we don't really expose our kids to careers in construction. And then we don't, as a federal policy, really allow for many lawful, legal, the right way to do it, opportunities for people to come into the country to work in construction.
Yeah, and, you know, we do have schools, and even Kevin O'Connor from this old house, you know who he is, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so he comes on the air with us a lot. He's a good friend of ours. And he and Tommy Silva created a foundation where they could take 18-year-old to whatever apprentices in because they don't want to lose these trades. And it is a real issue. So we have a school in our county, actually, that offers that as well. And when one of the local high schools discovered that, they're like, we're losing money. We need to do that also. So when I went to school, I remember the kids were taking, to fix your cars.
Auto repair. Like it was all part of the voc-ed program that most schools had.
Notice I didn't take that class.
Yeah, I should have too. Yeah, I'm kind of regret it.
Did you say the guys, not the women?
That's correct. It is correct. I never remember a girl being in that class or a guy being in the home economics class.
Now, well, things have changed.
Well, they shouldn't. Anyway, I'm just joking. But honestly, it's a trade. In fact, there's local people that give scholarships to people who want to go into the trades. And I think it's so important to encourage that, and you're seeing more and more of it, and obviously men and women. So how do we get, you know, Americans involved as well as legal immigrants?
Sure. Sure. Well, top priority is the program you've got and the foundation that you're talking about. Those are great, but they're more the exception than the rule. What we really need is we spend less on – they call voc-ed now career and technical education, and we spend less on it today than we did in 2001, even though we've got more students and more needs. So, frankly we need to spend more on setting up these, you know, programs to expose students to careers like construction, like manufacturing, and let them figure out what they're going to be good at. Every career school I've been to, everywhere they teach construction, there's always that one student that the teacher will say, you know, this kid really wasn't successful in any other class. And then we put them on a piece of equipment, and they're like a wizard with this equipment, and all of a sudden they feel like they're the smartest kid in school. So we should do it to help our, you know, our economy keep building, but we should also, frankly, do it so that more kids feel like there's success in school.
I agree 100%, and I've said this to parents over and over. Not everybody goes to college. It's not the end all. You don't want to be, you know, a professional in some field that requires that. Why would you spend, now it's like $50,000 a year for a private college if you're lucky to find that. Why wouldn't you send them to a school where they can learn a trade because that's what they enjoy? Don't you want your kid to feel good about what they do?
Yeah, tell me about it. If you drive by those construction projects and you see all the pickup trucks that belong to the workers, they're paid for because they're making 18% more than the average job in the United States, and most of them don't have any college debt that they're sort of dragging them back, as opposed to, you know, someone with $300,000 in college debt working as a barista.
It's true. It's just incredible. How do we get the message out to the young people? I know some of the schools are doing it. They're not opposed. I know one of our local school systems in the county is doing that. They're encouraging people who don't want to go for a higher education in anything because that's not what their dream is, and they're encouraging them to stay in the trade. So how do we get that message out to the country?
Where we get clobbered is the kitchen table. You know, so junior comes home, juniette comes home and says, Mom, Dad, Aunt, Uncle, I want to go study construction. And they're like, oh, heck no, you're going to go to college and get a real job. Because we've spent the last 40 years signaling to people that construction is a job of last resort, not some kind of career that you want to, you know, pursue. So we've got to change that perception. How do we do that? First of all, we need to have more investments in construction education and career and technical education so that parents can see, oh, it's a priority. The school's actually got a beautiful program. And then, yeah, we've been working with our members to make sure they're sending people back into schools and meeting families and talking about how great it is to work in construction.
You know,
go ahead.
That around because people that own construction companies that want their family to continue in that business, the kids don't want to do it. They're like, no, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a.
That happened with Tommy Silverstein.
How many people that have companies that, you know, that are even the head of their own company that the kids just don't want to get their hands dirty? They don't want to do it. You know,
well,
I
don't want to work with Dad. Could be an issue because, you know, God bless my son, but
right.
I'm not sure if he'd ever want to spend a day in an office with me. So.
I know my son wouldn't. But, you know, honestly, there are a lot of times when kids don't want to work as hard as their fathers do either. And that's another thing I do hear. You know, I don't want to do what my father does. He kills himself. And by the time he comes home, he's exhausted.
Yeah, but we know the people that do, you know, construction, do things. And like you said, they make a lot of money. And then maybe eventually.
Just as smart as the guy who got that BA.
Yeah,
and
as long as they have a little business acumen, later on they get their own company, you know, or at least start their own little business.
It is, I'd say this, it's one of the industry fields where that American dream is still alive. I can't tell you how many folks I've met, members of ours, who started as a laborer or carpenter, and they own their own business. They're like the millionaire next door, right? They're wearing jeans all day, driving a truck, and they got a decent, healthy bank account.
The only thing is, though, that, you know, they get married, they get a nice wife, but they don't do any construction in their own house. You know, right? The plumber he's got the worst pipes. You know, it's like,
I was just at a member's house. It looked pretty nice to me. I'm not sure if that's true everywhere.
Yeah, that's an old cliche.
It is. It's true, though.
Show how old you are.
There you go.
So what are you guys doing to try to enlist young people to come into the trades? What do you have?
Well, we are spending an enormous amount of money on recruiting campaigns, right? Digital advertising, which seems to be the trend, media events, you know, ads in papers, career fairs around the country. We're trying to make the case that people ought to pursue a high-paying career in construction, and also showing off the fact that, like, you talked about how hard the work can be and how tiring it is. There's so much new technology that's out there to actually make the job less physically demanding. I mean, people are wearing, it's like out of sci-fi movies, exoskeleton suits to keep their backs in good shape while they're working overhead, or they're driving, you know, drones or autonomous equipment. There's a ton of opportunities in construction that don't all include operating, you know, a piece of heavy equipment or wielding a hammer. You're as likely to have an iPad in your hand in the construction industry.
That's
so we're
true.
Trying to show that off and really reach people who've never really been in construction. Because most people who are in the crafts today, they got an aunt, they got an uncle or a father or a brother who's in it, and they kind of, that's how they heard about it.
true. Now, what age group would you be looking at primarily? When should you start looking? You know, what age group are you looking at trying to talk to?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, obviously we're looking for anyone 18 and above because, again, you don't need a college degree for most career paths. But we're also spending a lot of time building up those relationships with school districts. And not just at the high school level. We've got programs in middle schools and elementary schools designed to expose students to construction skills. I've been in second grade class, not mine because I was not a good teacher, but I've been in second grade classrooms where you've got kids working power drills and doing it better than I could do it. It's amazing that when you sort of expose kids to these skills, all of a sudden you've got young girls who are great at it. It's amazing to watch. But we're doing our part as an industry, but we're definitely, you know, while we're working on that, that frankly the federal government is our biggest enemy because as much time and money as we spend encouraging people to go into careers like construction, they're out there with this huge multi-billion-dollar megaphone saying, go to college, go to college, go to college, and it's a challenge.
Well, they can be doing that, and the parents could be doing that, but kids have to be thinking for themselves, so all you're doing is raising a kid that you're going to be supporting for the rest of their life.
And also, when you think about it, when kids are young, what are they playing with? Tractors, Legos, things that you build,
and by the way,
things that you do, and then that's just pushed aside to go into something else.
The younger you teach a child a foreign language, they pick it up immediately. That's why you see kids in other countries speak three or four languages. The younger you teach them, the more open they are to learn. You're going to get through to them much faster. I think that's a great idea. You do any advertising on radio?
We do, actually. Yes, we love radio, so you know,
all
because
right.
Everyone's listening.
Yeah, exactly. Especially here, let me tell you, because we simulcast to our station in New Jersey and New York City. So we have about 3 million between the two stations in our listening audience. So you've got a huge listenership here.
I feel like I'm getting a phone call from your ad salesperson after this interview, and have them call me. That's fine.
Actually, okay. You're talking to her. Yeah, okay.
You know another interesting
what?
Industrial career is welding.
Oh, welding.
Yeah.
Those people make a lot of money. And
there's a rumor that some of them get driven to and from the job site by a chauffeur. It's not true, but nonetheless, it's a great career path.
You want to hear it? I was going to make that joke. The pipeline came through the town a while back, and you know the excavation crew would come and they would dig out the ditch, and the surveyors would get in there, and then all of a sudden this big, beautiful truck would pull up, and I figured that was the boss. It was the welder.
All right, for welding.
And he'd hop in, and he'd weld his portion of the pipe, and he would hop back out.
I love it.
You know,
and then
he would take a rest like a Hollywood star, you know, as they did X-rays on the welder.
See, we should do it. That should be a good commercial to do.
Yeah,
it's you know, it's something that you know I dabble in a little bit of all this construction stuff. You know, just around, and I love it. I think I could see how people need to get into this on a full-time basis.
I'll tell you how much he loves it there, Brian.
I'm spending more time working on the house than I am here.
The Commissioner of Emergency Services for our county, who is a captain in the state troopers for 22 years before he took the job, listens every morning. Good morning, Pete. And he hears Frank talk all the time about the construction he's doing in the house, painting and so he bought him a T-shirt that it says, I'm that legendary painter everybody's talking about.
but, you know, it's a field that you can go into and make a ton of money and have a nice life with it. So any of that stuff.
A lot of those welders are artists, too.
They are.
Yeah.
It's artistry.
Here's the thing about construction. No matter what level people are at in their career, every one of them, I guarantee you if you go ask one today, they'll tell you this. Every one of them has put someone in their car, driven over to a project they worked on and said, that's my building, that's my bridge, that's my airplane.
I've been
taken around and shown every building that someone's built in a town. I've never taken my kids into the office to like see a memo that I wrote. They would look at me like I was a crazy person. But every construction person at any level has done that because they're proud of what they do.
And that's a legacy. You have a standing legacy for the work you've done. That's why architects are so proud of the work they do. And the builders are as well. I mean, it's true. You're constructing something that could be there for hundreds of years. I mean, what a great legacy. Now, if people want to get more information, where would they go?
Sure. There's a lot of information we've put up about how to find your career path, how to get involved in pushing for more funding for career and technical education, what we do as VOC-Ed. You can find all that actually at Workforce Done Right, all one word, workforcedoneright.org. And again, lots of information there. And if you want to contact your legislator and say, hey, you know, why isn't the federal government spending more money on construction education so we can get more American kids into these professions? There's a little button you can click right there and let them know that let's write up how much we put into construction education.
Well, it's interesting you should say that because we're the only station in the U.S. that does live local call-in shows also. And we have a lot of elected officials on the air with us, including the gentleman who runs the county and an assemblyman and senator and a congressman. So we're going to be talking to them about that.
And I'll tell you, to the credit, you mentioned you've got a local program. We're seeing the most success at the local level. I think the community is starting to get that this is bonkers that we're telling everyone to go to college. And then we've got a bunch of people with too much debt and not enough earnings. And so we're seeing that change at the local level. We're seeing that change to some extent at the state level. We're not seeing that change at the federal level, which is what we're pushing for.
Yeah, I think I'll be calling Congressman.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
The local trade unions have apprenticeship programs here.
I know, but we need to let people know that.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
They've got great. Those are great programs, and you earn money while you're learning the craft. I mean, they're wonderful.
Right.
But I think most, I haven't talked to folks in your area, but most apprenticeship programs, they'll tell you at the local level that they're struggling to get people into the hall.
Oh, and we hear it all the time.
That's
old news already.
No matter what it may be out here. All right, well, we appreciate you coming on the air with
Brian,
us today.
Yeah, we'll be in touch, for sure. Yeah,
thanks for having me. I'm going to look out for trash trucks for the rest of the day.
And buses that are in front, back of them.
There you go. Thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it.
Take care, Brian.
Bye-bye.